Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Just waiting for Anthony Kim to pick the phone up. We'll have a chat about a remarkable comeback story. He hasn't found his best version of his game just yet in the first couple of outings on the LIV Tour, but hopefully it's not too far away. Before we get to him, what's happened in the world of the National Basketball Association today, Andrew?
Well, it was a
the
big...
playoffs are rolling on.
Well, you asked me where the upset was going to come from, and it seems like the Milwaukee Bucks.
Actually, it's pronounced Milwaukee.
They are the ones that have the Indiana Pacers, of course, the upset. They've got the 108-125 loss to the Indiana Pacers. Yes. So, and now there's always an asterisk, and when your best player, and arguably, possibly the best player on the planet, in Giannis Antetokounmpo is not playing, there is an explanation for it. And then the Dallas Mavericks, they've come through and they've knocked over the LA Lakers. Now, that's a 4-5 series, so that's going to be one of the more closer ones. So, and then the Phoenix Suns, they have been disappointing. That is a squad that should be doing better, but the pieces just aren't working together like they should, and they've lost 105-93 to the Minnesota Timberwolves. And they've dug themselves a hole. Now, that's two home wins, but gee, watching a fair chunks of those games, the whole Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, everyone thought, well, this has got the makings. There's a big three right there.
Yeah.
It just hasn't. But they're individually, they're doing okay, but it just hasn't worked for some reason.
Well, there's a word I like to use, Andrew.
Talk to me.
Chemistry.
Yeah, a bit of that.
You know, that's the key, isn't it?
A bit of that.
Don't you have to hang on to that stuff and try and find that when you're putting these building blocks to success together?
But Anthony Edwards, Ant-Man, he is looking like he is just one of the greats in the making. Anthony Edwards.
Oh, he's superstar.
Ant-Man. Ant-Man,
is that the nickname, is it?
Ant-Man.
Absolute superstar. So 2-0, 2-0, won all those series. The mighty Boston Celtics go around tomorrow, of course. So we'll be...
And OKC.
Or OCT.
Against the
Pelicans. Let's hope they find their best. And let's hope our man gets
Josh
some
Giddey,
court time.
19 minutes.
They ignored him the other day.
1 of 6. Only had the 2 points.
They completely ignored the man.
We didn't get a lot of looks, comfortable looks, but
and
we'll see.
Plus minus was strong.
Plus minus for a period there was very strong.
I wonder whether Anthony Kim's a big hoops man. He's here for LIV Adelaide, of course. It's great to see him back playing top-level golf. And he'd been good enough to join us on the show. Hey, Anthony, thanks for joining us, mate. We appreciate your time.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Are you a NBA playoffs are going on? I'm talking to Australia's greatest ever basketballer.
Oh, Anthony.
Well, one of them is sitting alongside me right here, Anthony. He had a magnificent college career in the States and played a lot of high-level basketball in the NBA. We've just been talking about the results today. Are you a big hoops fan?
I am. I actually like basketball more than I like golf.
That's beautiful. Who do you follow?
I like the Lakers, but LeBron's always crying, so I'm more in the Kobe era. So
nice.
It's hard to watch what they're doing now, and obviously the Nuggets are playing great.
Yeah,
but once my Lakers are out, it's tough to watch.
Now, because we spent a bit of time yesterday talking about LeBron, and he sort of looked like he was going to carry the team on his back and get them over the line individually yesterday until it all went a bit sideways, and then missed the potential game winner late, and then, of course, storms off in the post-game press conference. Everybody has got him ranked, pegged sort of 1 or 2 in the history of the game. Just give me the Anthony Kim skinny on LeBron James, please.
obviously, I'm a better fan right now, but
right.
He's clearly one of the most gifted athletes ever to be on the planet, and he's done some amazing things, and you know, I don't think people give him enough credit for being in the limelight at such a young age. Well, I think he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated when he was 13 years old. And, you know, he's probably around my age now or maybe a little younger than me.
Yeah.
And he never has gotten in trouble. So, obviously, that says a lot about how he was raised and that he's making good decisions, better than I did.
Well done. Well, beautifully done.
And he did not come from privilege. He came from a very difficult circumstances. But what do you think the narrative is on LeBron James in the United States? So, globally, we see all the greatness, and I think that he probably gets a little bit more adulation, if you like, and more consistent adulation around the world. What's your take on the narrative in the United States on LeBron?
I would say it's 50-50. I think obviously everyone knows that on the basketball court he's great. And he does, you know, he's obviously won a bunch of championships, MVPs, but obviously being a Kobe fan myself, it's hard to switch over because they're two different animals.
Mm. And he doesn't mind saying stuff. He puts his head up over the parapet every now and again. LeBron on some pretty big social issues, and seems, and you're either one or the other these days. If somebody says black, the other person says white, and we've got a Donnybrook ready to go. So he probably upsets a few people there. Live Golf, of course, is on this week. It's going to be here, of course, exclusively on SEN from a radio perspective across the weekend. How many times in your golf career have you been down to Australia, Anthony?
So I've played one tournament here in Perth. But I've been to Australia twice and have enjoyed my experience here, and have heard such great things about Adelaide from the players earlier in the year that this is the best event of the year. So I'm looking forward to playing in front of 35,000 plus every day and just enjoying soaking it in and enjoying Adelaide for what it is, and hopefully put up some good numbers.
Hey, Anthony, well, what do you make of the LIV Golf here in Adelaide? It's really embraced that music, and I don't know if they do it everywhere, but they seem to do it a bit more with a bit more vigor in Adelaide.
That's true.
Is that something that you enjoy, particularly with the party hole and the throwing beer and stuff when you can get a hole in one, which we saw last year? Does that excite you?
Yes, it does. Coming from someone who likes big events like, you know, the NBA games, Super Bowls, I've been to quite a few events. It's always nice to play in front of large crowds and have people actually care about what we're doing. You know, as much as it is about golf, we're also partly entertainers. And so we have a platform here to be able to show more of who we are. And, you know, I think we're really lucky to have this opportunity here in Adelaide.
So give us your take. Everyone knows your story, you know, and you've taken us on the journey a bit since you've kind of come back to live, and the interviews you've given have been, you know, really insightful and thought-provoking and really honest. So good on you for doing that. But it was like kind of 2011, 2012 when, you know, when you dropped off the grid and you come back now and there's this kind of global golfing war going on, and it's LIV and PIF and PGA and Rory and all the whole box and dice. Can you believe, you know, what you've come back into?
It's hard to believe. Yeah, it's hard to believe that there's basically, you know, these two different tours, trying to figure out who, you know, who's got the best players and how they're going to move forward. But what LIV's doing is pretty incredible. I think Greg was right in that there needs to be global golf. To grow the game, you need to go to different areas. It just cannot be in the United States alone. And obviously, the fans showing out here in Australia show that there's a hunger there for world class golf. And I'm glad to be a part of LIV coming to Australia to showcase that.
So you were, just on that, you were one of the when you were one of the hottest tickets in the world when it came to golf. You know, back in the day, and hopefully you will be again, you know, sooner rather than later. But a lot of people sheet the responsibility back to the Americans and the PGA Tour and the fact that, you know, you guys back in the day are comfortable to be at home. There's money flowing down the rivers, streets over there, so you don't need to get on planes unless you're getting on a plane for a major. That it was the PGA Tour and the Americans that kind of caused the situation that led to a LIV kind of coming on board. Do you reckon the American influence in the world of golf has got some responsibility for the situation we find ourselves in?
I don't know about all that. I don't know. I really don't. I haven't thought too deeply about it. Right now, I'm just trying to break 80.
So right.
That's been my main concern.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, for the game to grow, you need to go to different countries. You need to grow it globally. And there's so much opportunity, whether it be in Korea, whether it be in China, Australia. There's so much opportunity, and it's crazy not to go after that market as well.
Sure.
And what are your goals now coming back this second go around where you were so close? Well, you were
a superstar,
absolute bona fide superstar. Is it to get back to that? Is it just to enjoy golf, which I'm sure you want to do? What are your goals now?
So, great question. I know it may seem hard to believe to some people, but my goal is to be competing and winning golf tournaments. I'm not out here to have a good time. Like, I could have a good time at my house without getting on the plane.
Yes.
You know, this is more than golf to me. I'm on a mission to get better, to improve every week, and really just work hard and show my daughter that if you work hard enough, anything's possible. And it would be amazing if, you know, at the end of the year, I had a win under my belt and really could prove that the hard work pays off.
Will you get there?
I don't see why I can't get there. I know I have the ability to do it. I just need to put myself in a position to win a golf tournament. And I think if I get there, I like my chances.
And when you think back of the challenges that you've faced after, you know, getting to the summit in a previous time, do you look at the circumstances? Did golf do you wrong? Do you have any sort of heartburn because of what the sport did to you? Or is it just what you did to yourself?
No, nothing that happened to me is anyone else's fault but mine. I take full responsibility for the decisions I made. I know that's a politically correct answer, and I don't really give a shit.
No, it makes sense.
But yeah, but you know, at a young age, I made poor decisions, and you know, I guess I got away with a lot of them, but you know, ended up catching up to me, and you can only suppress bad things for so long before they come to the surface, and it did. So I take full responsibility for the things I've done, but I've learned from them, and what a great opportunity I have here to show like what a different person I am, and you know, my goals are still the same. My goal is to be a world-class player. My goal is to work hard. My goal is to be a good father and a good husband and a good son. And other than that, my life's really easy.
Gee, to have a baby girl who you want to make feel proud about her dad is the best motivation I reckon you can get anywhere, Anthony. So just on the golf, last one before we let you. When you look down the range, so you want to get back to being at the top of the tree, and we wish you well. You look down the range and you're watching Rahm smacking it and Koepka hitting the way he does and Smithy hitting it the way. Do you look down there and you go, yeah, my game stacks up. I still got this?
So I would be lying to say that I don't think I could do it. Is there still rust on my game? Yes. But there's no hurdle I don't see me being able to overcome. I feel I'm going to be able to figure out the mistakes I'm making and eventually be competing. I wouldn't be here if I was not feeling able to compete with the big guys. I know they've had great careers at a young age and have done some incredible things, but I know what I'm capable of, and again, I'm here to win.
Well, mate, it's good to see you swinging a golf club.
It is.
And let's hope that the path takes you where you want it to take you. Great to have you in Australia. We wish you well over the weekend, and thanks for having a chat to us this afternoon. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Good man. Good luck. Anthony,
yeah, absolutely.
Go get him.
Anthony Kim, Live Golf, 26, 28 April. Final tickets, there's a handful of them left. LiveGolf.com.